views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the transformative show, We Carry the Light, with host Dr. Susan Allison, the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. Who are you right now? And who do you want to be? What is it that makes you happy, helps you feel fulfilled, and living your purpose? Tune in and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine. Now, here is your host, Dr. Susan Allison.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, welcome. So happy you're here with me today on We Carry the Light. Wow, this has been quite a month. It feels like it zipped by, and this is the last day of April, which I can't believe. I don't know about you, but it feels like life is speeding up, speed, speed, speed all around me. And sometimes I'm in that fast lane, and sometimes I'm not. And I feel like, hey, maybe I'm getting older, and I've slowed down, and there's all this craziness around me. But for whatever reason, I didn't sleep well last night. I was awake at 4 a.m. You can probably hear it in my voice. And what happens when I wake up like that is I meditate, and I can't go back to sleep, so I might as well meditate and get some divine downloads of ideas and sometimes pray and daydream. And that's what I did. And so I woke up this morning and actually felt fine, which is what my meditation teacher said years ago, is that if I meditate twice a day for 20 minutes at least, it'll be like 8 hours sleep. Now, it wasn't feeling exactly like 8 hours sleep. It doesn't feel quite that much this morning, but meditation has helped me so many times. Recenter, regroup. And I've been, meditating since I was pregnant with my first child. So that's over 30 years ago. And it has been amazing for me. The doctors think that I'm a marathon runner, which I am not. I barely can take my dog for a walk, you know, poor thing. And they listen to my pulse, look at my blood pressure, listen to my heart, et cetera, and go, my blood pressure is super, super low, et cetera. And the meditation, I really credit the meditation for physical health for me and mental clarity and spiritual connection with the divine. So this morning, we have a wonderful guest who knows all about tapping into source. And she's going to talk about that today. She's Colleen Morrow, and she's written a book that's fascinating and lots of hard work and research called Spiritual Telepathy. Colleen has 30 years of experience in magazine publishing, including work as a publisher, editor, advertising director, and circulation and marketing consultant. A lifelong interest in the untapped powers of the mind led her to launch Intuition magazine in 1988. Intuition explored the higher potential of the mind and the many and varied ways of knowing, which are intuition, inspiration, and telepathy, providing both research and how-to information in an easy-to-read form for the general reader. So on the show today, everyone, we will be focusing on her recent book, Spiritual Telepathy. So let's welcome Colleen. Hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I think it's funny that neither of us slept well.
That's right.
So we're depending on you, Benny, to help us through the show here.
All right, all right. I'll smack you around a little bit, but not too hard.
Yeah, please help us out here.
All right.
All right. So, Colleen, I always start this way with my guests, and I'd love to start with you personally and your journey. And I'd like to know when you knew you were more than a body, that you're a mind, you're a spirit, and maybe just talk a bit about your own awakening, if you wouldn't mind.
No, it happened in my 20s when I started first to meditate. Mm-hmm. And as I got more involved with the subject and then started the magazine, I really kind of accelerated my meditation and my spiritual studies. And so it was really part of a professional development, too. I really felt like I needed to do this to be a spokesperson for this particular subject.
Yeah. And in terms of meditation, what form of meditation did you use at first? And I'm wondering if some of the exercises in the book are part of that practice that you started or not.
No, I just started with a basic follow the breath meditation.
Hmm?
But what has really made a difference is the type of meditation that I've learned. I've been involved in an esoteric school for the last 10 years. And we do a type of meditation called creative meditation that I talk about in the book.
Yes.
And this is how you build the bridge from the mind to the soul.
Fantastic. We'll be talking about that in a minute, and I'd love to hear more about that. I'm also interested in your magazine, mm-hmm. which I never, ever read, which mm-hmm. I now look back and I wish I had, and I'm hoping there may be some archive copies. Mm-hmm. But tell us some more about your magazine and that whole process and anything you want to share about intuition.
Well, it's a very interesting story about how it got started, and it really dovetails with the subject of the magazine and now the subject of this book. In 1988, I was between jobs and living in San Francisco, and I had worked in alternative magazine publishing for several years, and I had managed to find 3 back-to-back jobs in the Bay Area, which I thought was a miracle because at that time it wasn't known as a place to pursue a career in magazine publishing. I just felt very lucky. And at that point, with no job on the horizon, I figured that my luck was finally running out and I might have to move, which I didn't want to do.
Yes.
And so I spent my days looking for new magazines, sending out resumes, and driving myself crazy worrying about money. And one morning I woke up and I decided that I really needed a break, that I would treat myself to a day outside working in my garden and that I wouldn't think about any of my problems for an entire day. And so I was very happily outside planting bulbs, and as I just puttered around, a thought suddenly flashed through my mind, and the thought was the Center for Applied Intuition. Mm. And this wasn't the familiar type of intuitive experience. I had always accessed information through feelings or a body-based sensation of knowing, and this was a purely mental experience. It was like the words were just dropped right into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately knew it wasn't my thought, and it certainly made no logical sense. I knew about the center, and I had met Bill Kautz, the founder, and I couldn't imagine why I would go there to look for a magazine job. He had a little two-room office, and he had a team of intuitives who did trainings, and they did consulting for businesses and so on, and I couldn't imagine what there would be for me there. But I mulled it over for a few days and then decided to call him and ask him for information about the center's activities. And a few days later, I got a huge manila envelope, and I dumped it out on my dining room table. And inside there were several brochures and a very simple typewritten journal called Applied Psi. It was the quarterly publication that he sent to the center's 200 members.
Yes.
And the subject was intuition and creativity. And I sat down and looked at it, and as I flipped through the pages, I suddenly had an idea. I thought, boy, this is really interesting. And with a new name and a different format, this could be a real magazine. And I think it's something that would appeal to people way beyond the 200 members from the center. So I called him up, and I made an appointment to speak with him. And then the more I thought about it, the more sense it made. It would be a perfect marriage of my interests and experience. And when I sat down to talk to him and I explained the idea I had, he just lit up and told me that he had never found anybody that could turn it into a real magazine, that it had been his dream and the right person and just had never come along. And
wow.
So I went home, I banged out a proposal, came back the next day, and suddenly Intuition, a magazine for the higher potential of the mind, was born. And from the start, it was really my baby. Since the center just had those tiny 2 rooms, I set up shop in my dining room, and I cajoled all my writer friends into contributing free articles. I sold advertising space to pay for the printing and set up a local distribution in bookstores. And so I trucked it around in my car, and when all the copies sold out right away, I knew my hunch had been right, and I set up a national newsstand distribution and started work on the second issue. And later, Bill decided to close the center, and he signed the rights to the magazine over to me, and I later received a grant, and I was able to set up an office and hire a staff. And there's 2 really remarkable things about this when I think about it now, is that one, I never could have gotten there through my rational mind, that I had always dreamed of starting a magazine, but couldn't imagine that I would have been a candidate at that point, because I was barely paying my rent.
Yes.
And I also couldn't see the future and see the bigger picture. And what happened over the next decade is that there was an absolute flood of information on intuition, and the magazine provided a focal point for that. And I couldn't have seen that. I just sort of put one foot in front of the other and sort of did my small piece of that. But now when I look back, I can see how perfectly positioned it was.
It was perfect. And you were intuition in action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ironic and just perfect that you got that in your garden. And it was your own intuition that then founded the magazine Intuition.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
The key thing was my just stopping what I was doing and decided that I wasn't going to think about it. I was just giving myself a day to be in the moment, enjoy the sunshine. It was October, my favorite month, and I was just puttering around, just really happy. And then, boom, there it was.
You know, you talk about this a bit in the book, but I just did a show, and you may want to listen to it, on Dr. Pat's show called Divine Downloads. Mm. And I said the same thing you're saying, which is whenever I get downloads, and they're, for me, they're book ideas, they're songs. Sometimes all the lyrics and the verses, everything, the melody all comes in through the top of my head. I feel like it's coming from divine, or it's coming from my higher self, I call it, and coming in, and it's not me. And I do it when I'm on my bike, walking my dog, in my car with nothing on, just silence, on a beach. And that's when I get all of these, is when, you know, I'm out of that cognitive linear mind, and mm-hmm. I'm doing something else, and it's sort of put on a shelf, it's put aside, and then this comes in. So I totally can relate to what you just shared.
How do you experience it? Is it just the words appear in your brain? Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, sometimes I start humming a tune. I start humming a song, and it's just sort of feels like, it literally feels like in my crown chakra, that, and I often do this with clients, is I have them open up a trap door in their crown chakra, and that's where I have them bring light in. And that's what it feels like. It feels like it's just pouring in, and it's not really coming from me. I mean, it's coming from my highest, or as some people believe, it's the personal oversoul, or you're tapped into the universal oversoul. Who knows exactly? But it doesn't feel like, you said, it doesn't feel like the words were mine. Mm-hmm. It comes in, and then it's an entire song, or it's a new book, or it's a poem, or a series of something it's always creative. Or now I'm painting. That's what'll come in terms of a new painting. Mm-hmm. It'll come in that way, and then I just start painting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's cool, though, isn't it, when it happens?
Absolutely. And one of the things I wanted to do with this book is to let people know that we all have the ability to make contact with the higher worlds, that it's not just the special people.
Yep.
And I've always been very touched and envious when I've read stories about people who could communicate with the higher worlds. We have the writings of our saints, but we know they lived in monasteries and devoted their entire lives to spiritual practice.
Yes.
But it also seems to happen to ordinary people, like
Absolutely.
Joan of Arc, who mm-hmm. talked to saints and angels, and Eileen Caddy, who received the guidance that led to the founding of the Findhorn community in Scotland, and the botanist George Washington Carver, who walked in the woods each morning to talk to God. And apparently God talked back. He called it the divine radio.
Oh, cool.
And
wonderful.
It really always stirred a real longing in me. And I've always wondered, is it only special people, or are these people more evolved than I am, or is it somehow preordained that they have this special gift? And what I discovered in immersing myself in this topic is that it's not just for special people, that it is, in fact, our evolutionary destiny.
Oh, that beautiful.
Many, many leaders, spiritual leaders, philosophers, scientists are telling us now that we're poised on the brink of an evolutionary leap. And it's one as profound as our emergence from animal to human. When we make direct contact with our soul, we take our first steps out of the strictly human world and
yes.
into the superhuman world. And then the subtle worlds become part of our human world, and we move up a notch on the evolutionary ladder.
Very cool. We're going to need to take a break, but listeners, hold that thought that all of us can do this. All of us can climb that evolutionary ladder. All of us can tap into the divine. And we'll be right back with Colleen Morrow.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Calling all healers for an amazing Astral Allies retreat in the Methow Valley. Join Lynn Brown and Wendy R. Wolf April 30th through May 2nd. You will focus on healing and owning your third chakra, personal power, energy distribution, and more. To register now or learn more, email wendyrwolf@att.net or call 206-853-8603. What is your why? Is coach training right for you? Maybe you're changing careers. Maybe coaching can help you revitalize an existing career. Mark Rayner and the Rayner Institute can help you manifest your goals. Classes start April 27th and 28th. To learn more, visit RaynerInstitute.com to enroll today. That's RAYNERInstitute.com. What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Can you keep your lifestyle in retirement? It's a question people often wonder about. Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who have had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman, financial advisor, at 425-453-0272 for your Confident Retirement conversation today. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment and advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to We Carry the Light. This is Dr. Susan, and I'm so happy to have Colleen Morrow here today. And we're talking about spiritual telepathy. In fact, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're about to. And Colleen, I'd love for you to explain the title. How did that title come to you? What does it mean? What do you mean by spiritual telepathy?
Well, spiritual telepathy is what we're just talking about. It's communication from the subtle worlds, from our own souls or from higher sources. And the communication from the subtle levels is always telepathic. We don't audibly hear the information. The information is just dropped into our brains like we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this teaching comes from a body of wisdom called the Ageless Wisdom, and also known as the Esoteric or Mystery Teachings. It was once taught in Egypt and Greece and Babylon and the ancient mystery schools. And it was first put into book form by the Hindu sage Patanjali in his Yoga Sutras. And what I've discovered in researching this is that it is the core teaching that exists at the heart of every spiritual tradition.
Hmm.
And I wanted to show people that this is a universal teaching. Because it's so esoteric, I wanted it to reach a wider group than the people that just normally read esoteric books. So I really sort of put it in the context of a world teaching and showed everybody how in all cultures, in all traditions, they're pretty much saying the same thing.
Is it possible for you to say in one sentence what that universal teaching is that is true in all across every religious faith?
That meditation is the doorway to the higher world, that it's in developing our higher mental processes that we can make contact with the higher world.
Fantastic. That was so clear. Because as you mentioned in your introduction of your book, there's so many books that have been written about the esoteric schools and the mystery schools and so on, but so many of them, they're so dense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I found that too when I was doing research for my book. I have some of the mystery school background in it. And so your book, what you attempted was a very complex and abstract subject at times, but you wanted to bring it to everybody so that we all could understand it and access it.
Mm-hmm. I read a lot of the Ageless Wisdom books, the Alice Bailey series and so on, and mm-hmm. those take years to get through. There's a lot yep. of really good stuff there, but it's just so time-consuming. I had them on my bookshelf for years, and I never had time to read them. It was only when I had this block of quiet time that I was able to do it, and I think it, for most people with their busy lives, it's pretty impossible. So I wanted to distill that information and make it accessible to people and make it more widely read.
Mm, you did. You did that. I really, and I love research. So I loved all of your research that you did in the book. You know, my publisher, it's interesting, says that what readers want, and, you know, that they don't want too much. What they want is story. They want mm-hmm. stories, like you put all the stories about people's lives and what happened to them mm-hmm. when they tapped in and so on. So readers want stories and they want practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the last half of your book, especially where you went into several practices that we can literally do to access this as opposed to just telling us about it.
Right.
So I love that you did that, that you have real practices for real people.
Yeah, that was really important to me to include the stories because, like you just said, this is usually communicated just in theory, and I wanted to show people that it does change your life and how it's changed other people's lives. So I love doing these interviews with people and met wonderful, wonderful people. Really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, so listeners, you're going to love this book. In fact, let's put a plug in for it right now. So Spiritual Telepathy, how can they get your book and contact you?
The book is available on Amazon. I just put up a website, and it is spiritualtelepathy.net. They can go to that site, and they can read the introduction to the book, and then just easily click on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever they buy books. I'm also going to be putting up back issues of Intuition Magazine. So
oh,
a lot
cool.
of people are asking me now. So I do have some books, or excuse me, magazines still stacked in a corner of my garage. So I'm going to make those available.
Awesome. And so can people find out about that on this new website?
Yeah, I haven't put those up yet, but I will soon okay. in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad that we did that because sometimes I forget, and I don't want to forget for you to tell people how to reach you. So, you know, speaking of telepathy, I mean, one thing that I think is interesting, you say in the book that there are three types of telepathy. Can you mm-hmm. can you elaborate on that?
Sure. This is really interesting from several levels. One is it really shows our evolutionary journey and the way that we acquire higher realms of knowledge. We start with instinctive knowing, and then it moves to rational knowing, where we are now. And then it moves up to pure intuitive knowing. And this relates to the type of telepathy. It also relates to the chakra system, which I didn't realize. And the first type of telepathy is instinctual, and it operates as our gut feeling. And mm-hmm. that type of telepathy utilizes the solar plexus center.
Yep.
That's the psychic center. And because it's related to the emotional body, it creates a very strong psychic connection to the people we're closest to.
Mm-hmm.
We just know when a loved one has died or is in trouble. And Rupert Sheldrake has done a lot of research on this type of telepathy. In his book, The Sense of Being Stared At, he has a lot of stories about this. And mental telepathy, true mental telepathy, uses the throat center, and spiritual telepathy, the head center. And a lot of what is called telepathy now in the scientific studies, I think, is really clairvoyance. It's really mm-hmm. instinctual kinds of telepathy. True
yeah.
mental telepathy really requires a pretty high-level skill of being able to focus mind to mind. And we have three good examples, and I put this in my book. And one of them is Helena Blavatsky. who wrote The Secret Doctrine. The other is Alice Bailey, who wrote a series of books. And the third is Helena Rohrich. And these three women really introduced the wisdom teachings to our generation. Mm-hmm. And they were all said to be the receivers of information from masters in the Himalayas. And Alice Bailey has written a lot about her own process, and it was very interesting to read about it. She said a Tibetan man made an appearance in her life when she was about 15, and he told her that he'd have work for her to do in the future. And then years later, when she was a mother of three, she had suddenly heard a voice within asking for her cooperation in the writing of a series of books. And she was a little reluctant, but she finally agreed. And as she said in the beginning, she just wrote down the words one by one as they were dropped into her brain. Mm. And over time, as their minds became more attuned, she was able to directly register and write down the thoughts and ideas of this Tibetan master. And over a 30-year period, they produced, I think, 19 books on consciousness. And she's the one who coined the phrase, the New Age.
Mm.
And she says that this will be our preferred mode of communication in about 300 years.
Mm.
And so it's more than just that instinctual knowing. This is a focused mental
yep.
process.
Yes.
And spiritual telepathy is the highest type of telepathy at all. And it only becomes possible when we've created a link between our mind, brain, and soul. And that happens through the process of creative meditation, which I'd like to tell people about.
Mm,
and when
we do
this, we have the ability to serve as intermediaries between the physical and spiritual world. It's said that the masters who guide the evolution of our planet can't directly affect life on Earth. Instead, they look for those who have that direct line of communication between the soul and the brain, that the information is stepped down to our brain via the soul and then impressed on our brain. And that might have been what happened in the garden. My experience with the magazine, I don't really know where it came from.
Exactly.
But it was that kind of experience where the information was just there. And it also just wasn't registering on me. I know at least one other person who had the same idea at the same time. So I think that a lot of us are seated with the ideas.
I agree. In fact, I go back to the transcendentalists, Emerson and Thoreau and Alcott and so on, who say that there's this oversoul, this huge, you know, whatever you want to call it, but I still call it the oversoul. And we're all plugged into it. And, you know, you're plugged into it, I am. And ideas are springing up on the other side of the planet and here at the same time. And, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Isn't it interesting that there was a flood of intuition books right at the same time? A lot of people had that impulse. And I think that was a phase that we learned to reclaim what we had lost when we developed the rational way of knowing, that we were given ourselves permission to use that way of knowing and to validate that. And now that everybody seems to know about intuition, that it's a very common thing, we're going to the next level, which is spiritual telepathy. It's a higher level.
Yes, it is. It is a higher level. And believe it or not, we have another break. It feels like we just started, but we will be right back with Colleen Morrow.
I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip of the week. When we own our own responsibility, we're choosing to own our choices, our energy, our day, our jobs, our relationships. It's a tall order. And what difference does that make? Well, plenty. We're choosing to look within, to change agreements within ourselves, to keep our energy field clean, and to upgrade as needed to make choices that are authentic to us. This shifts our language. We no longer blame others. We're no longer victims of our circumstances. So if we don't get paid abundantly or loved abundantly, let's look within and ask, where am I not honoring myself? Where am I not loving myself? Let's change the agreement. Let's get real with what's in place, forgive ourselves and others, and shift into our new life. Visit me at LeslieFontaine.com or call me at 678-665-3366. Let this be the last day that you choose to look outwardly and look within.
What is your why? Is coach training right for you? Maybe you're changing careers. Maybe coaching can help you revitalize an existing career. Mark Rayner and the Rayner Institute can help you manifest your goals. Classes start April 27th and 28th. To learn more, visit RaynerInstitute.com to enroll today. That's RAYNERInstitute.com.
Mm-hmm. Are you feeling stressed, in pain, disconnected, worried about aging? Corrective Alignment and Integration Therapy restores health. Move your body, which frees your mind and elevates your spirit. Bodywise Bodywork LLC provides the tools you need to create the change you've been waiting for. Start living a fully present and integrated life. Book your 15-minute consultation online at www.bodywisebodywork.com. Bodywise Bodywork LLC, because it's the only body you've got.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
In retirement, will you have enough money to live life on your terms? Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who've had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman Financial Advisor at 425-453-0272 for your Confident Retirement conversation today. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back, everyone, to We Carry the Light. This is Dr. Susan, and I have Colleen Morrow here if you're just tuning in, author of Spiritual Telepathy. And Colleen and I were chatting during the break. Feels like we've known each other forever. And she would like to next talk about creative meditation, which we've touched on, but she wants to explain it, I'm sure, because what we're getting close to is talking about how you can access the higher realms, you can access your higher self. And Colleen, tell us about creative meditation.
Creative meditation is a way to create the cables that link us to the higher world. In the same way that our homes are wired for telephone and internet connection, we create these cables by projecting our attention upward from the mind to the soul. And most meditation practices focus only on quieting the mind. And this type of meditation is very active. We go a step further and we actively train our minds to transmit information from the soul to the brain. It has to reach our brain to become part of our conscious awareness. And we do this by our daily practice of projecting our attention upward from the mind to the soul. And each time we do this, we anchor small threads of energy that eventually, thread by thread, form a symbolic bridge between the mind and the soul. And the bridge is called the Rainbow Bridge or the Bridge of Light in the wisdom teachings. In the Hindu text, it's called the Antahkarana. And in the New Testament, Jesus called it the Straight or Narrow Gate. And one thing that I discovered through my esoteric training is that we don't do this alone. And I always thought it was this lonely sort of labor. But when we focus our attention upward, the soul turns its attention downward. And the bridge is actually built through the united effort of both the soul and the human personality.
Mm.
And the most important thing is discipline. And that's not a very exciting message, but it's true.
Mm.
That it really requires our repeated day-to-day effort.
Yep.
People have told me, and I've experienced this myself, that when we stop, even for a few days, especially in the early stages, the energy starts to dissipate. And it's like we have to start all over again. But what I found, and I have had as much trouble with discipline as anybody could. I was writing about how important discipline was, and I didn't want to get up out of bed myself. So I've really struggled with this, and I talked a little bit about that in the book, how you know, finally I figured out a way that I could do it. And the way I do it, I don't like to jump out of bed, and I had to jump out of bed most of my adult life because I was involved in magazine publishing and always on deadline. And finally, I had a period where I could just enjoy my morning, and I didn't want to give it up. But what happened is that when I took that time for myself, I'd start to think about the day ahead, and it was too hard to quiet my mind. So what I do now is I stay in bed and I read the paper, and I'm sure this would I get kicked out of any ashram in the world, but it works for me because it allows me to wake up slowly, which I want to do. And then, you know, but I don't really take any of the information in. I mean, it seems like a weird thing to do because I read everything. I just give myself that time to wake up, and then I just go upstairs and I go to my meditation place and I do it, and then I start my day. So it's sort of a it was a compromise between what I wanted to do and what I needed to do, and it's allowed me to be consistent, which is really important. But one thing that I have discovered that when you get even a little taste of soul contact, you want more, and then the discipline seems less arduous. It's not so much like homework, which it felt like in the beginning. But it's something we want to do because we want more of that experience. And in the Bible, there's a phrase that we take heaven by storm. And I think what this means is that it's our day-to-day knocking. It's our determination to sit down there and do it day after day that finally opens the door to the higher world.
Mm. So let's become more specific for listeners. How would someone do have a creative meditative experience?
Well, I have the actual practice in my book, and there's actually three levels of it.
Yep.
The first is basic mind control, and this is the hardest and the longest process, and every contemplative tradition focuses on this first because you have to quiet the mind before you have that clear channel, that the mind can actually be trained to be our tool, and it's like a telescope tool that we use to peer into the higher world.
Yep.
It's like a conduit that exists between the soul and the brain. But we have to quiet it down. And so the first meditation, there's actually 12 meditations in the book, 8 for personal development and 4 for service. And some of them are for quieting down the lower bodies, which I'd like to mention too. But we start with just basic mind control, keeping your mind focused where you want it to focus, not where it wants to focus. It's easy to focus on something we're interested in, but harder to make the mind focus on something on demand. And that's what we have to learn first. And it's just repeated mind control. In the esoteric school that I am involved with, it's the Arcane School, and they take you kind of slowly, I think more slowly than what I have in the book, but they make you just do this over and over and over and over and over before you actually start building the bridge to the soul. But it really depends on what kind of meditation experience people have in the past and how successful they've been at really quieting their mind. That depends on how fast they'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with that meditation, and I think it's chapter 6, and then there's 2 meditations for directly building that bridge to the soul in chapter 7.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at your book right now, and the stages of creative meditation, it's in the Rainbow Bridge chapter, and I really like the meditation that you have on page 116. I'll just mention to people, be sure to get her book at Amazon, and then you too can do this. But you describe, it's when you bring the light in, to visualize the line of light higher and higher and bring it in and so on. And I've been doing that for years, just intuitively. In fact, I I'm a shamanic practitioner, so most of my spiritual work is journeying to other to spirit realms. And Jesus came to me once in one of my realms and taught me how to bring golden light in through the top of my head and heal my shoulder, which I'd injured in a cycling accident. It completely healed my shoulder. I came out of the meditation and he had said, I'm going to teach you this, but you now need to use it with your clients, which I have since then. It's been years. But so I was particularly drawn to your meditation here, which is about bringing in the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very inspiring one. I have meditations that precede that. And this is an important point to bring up, too. And that is that we have to quiet the mind and our emotions before we even have a chance of being able to access that information. And this is something that's in all traditions I discovered. It's called refinement. You refine the physical, the emotional, and the mental bodies so that the physical body is purified and the mental and emotional bodies are completely still, and they have to be still. If they're static, the information doesn't get to the brain. And so there's practices for quieting the emotional body. And I have a little bit in the book about what Jack Kornfield is doing, which I think is really important. He discovered when he started teaching meditation that at least half of the people couldn't quiet themselves down enough to master even the basic concentration exercises because they had so much unresolved emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot, too, from a very difficult childhood. And so he's been a real pioneer in bringing in Western psychotherapy to contemplative practice. And I think that's really important. It was important for me. I had done a lot of therapy in my earlier years, but what I discovered when I really tried to quiet myself down and got really serious about meditation was that I needed to do more. Anything unresolved starts to bubble up, and I realized, boy, I had people that I had to forgive. There were a couple of people who I actually let go of because they were creating so much emotional static in my life. So it's kind of a process of cleaning out and whipping the lower bodies into shape. It's called the path of probation. In the esoteric training. But all traditions have some sort of character refinement that they expect people to do as the preliminary to doing this higher work.
Yeah, that's so important. I'm glad you brought that up because we are so, and you mentioned this in your book, but we are so driven in our culture and things are so fast and we don't stop. So people haven't, they've been working themselves to death basically and pushing down all of their feelings by overworking and et cetera, other diversions, so that when they do sit down and they're in silence, it's like all of these feelings come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this with my clients all the time when they just stop and, you know, they're not listening to something constantly like the television or even the radio, or they're not, you know, working constantly. They're not drinking too much, et cetera. They're not escaping or having coping mechanisms that shove down these feelings that have been there forever, since childhood. So I'm so glad you mentioned that sometimes, you know, telling listeners sometimes that stuff will come up.
Mm-hmm. I actually made a point of including two forgiveness meditations because that was such an issue for me. That was the biggest block I had because I had things that I couldn't resolve with people directly, and I had to learn how to just let it go and have more compassion for them, and that was a process, a journey for me.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, what a relief when I managed to do it.
Yeah, and then you see you've cleared. Hmm. There's this, I really was just picturing when you were speaking, there's this clearing and then allowing yourself to move on and move forward and move upward. Mm-hmm. In terms of the meditation, because you've cleared that lower chakra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
good.
It's not easy. And, you know, most of us have this kind of stuff. And, you know, many of us need help. And I encourage everybody to just do what they have to do. Get the help they need. Do whatever practices they need to do to start clearing that out, because it's going to be a block and it'll be frustrating.
Yeah, very true. Now, you mentioned earlier that you wanted to talk about the idea of the whole genius issue in your book that you mentioned.
Yeah, this is really fascinating to me. One of my favorite books of all time was written by Willis Harmon, who was the president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences. It was called Higher Creativity, and it came out in 1984. It was actually one of the inspirations for the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at the biographies of many artists, writers, composers, scientists, and inventors, and discovered that the source of their greatest achievements was an intuitive breakthrough, that the information they needed suddenly poured into their brains. And the book contains many quotes that have become well-known. And I was thinking a lot about this, and I decided to go back and to read his original sources. And I read several books. One, a great book called Talks with Great Composers that was actually written in the 1800s. And what I discovered when I read the full text of these interviews is that these people were talking about creativity and inspiration in exactly the same way that it's taught in the wisdom teaching, that the soul is the portal or the gateway to the higher world. It's the gateway to the universal mind where all information and all inspiration actually exists. And so I found example after example where they were talking exactly about this, about how they touched the soul, and then boom, they had just this downpouring, this flow of inspiration. You know, like Albert Einstein is one of the things I put in the book, and exactly what you said before.
Yep.
And one of the things that I found is that the downflow of soul light actually awakens new brain cells, and inspired thinking and creative leaps can occur. And I think this is what happened with Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very funny that after he died, researchers dissected and probed his brain, trying to figure out if his brain was different and if that's the reason he was so amazing. And the brain is just the receiving plate. And he made that clear in many things that he said, that the mind takes a higher level. And, you know, it's the mystical that's the source of all inspiration. So he probably thought it was hilarious that they were poking around with his brain. And it was a huge drama, too, because one of the researchers actually kidnapped part of his brain and took it on a road trip or something. And I had so much fun reading about this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But I'm sure he thought it was funnier than hell that that's where they were going. And it makes sense because it's the only tangible thing they could really study and probe. But it's not the brain. The brain is simply the receiver of the information.
That's right. And it was the mind and the mystical and then the soul. I wanted you to talk a bit about the soul and how do you know that we have souls?
Well, I think we can only know something intangible through our own direct experience.
Exactly.
And what I found is that as I touched into these levels, and it's very tentative at first, and it sort of happens and starts in spurts, and I think it's probably that way for everybody, but there's something that you feel so expanded, and you see things from a higher perspective, and I had the experience of my heart just opening, and I suddenly understood that Buddhist phrase, having a heart as wide as the world. You
yes.
start to just feel this expansion and start to be more compassionate. I'm less judgmental. All these things that just make you feel so fabulous that you want more and more of, and you don't want to do without it. And the pleasures of the outer world seem to pale in comparison.
Yeah.
But it's that experience that really sort of propels us forward.
Yeah, I love that you said that about direct experience, because in terms of shamanism, that's what I love about it, is it's totally direct experience.
Mm-hmm.
You are learning to go into trance and to journey to other dimensions of reality and to spirit worlds, and you bring back the information that's for you. It's not like listening to a lecture and somebody else says that the soul exists, or somebody else says they had a near-death experience and they found heaven and tell us about it. But what you're talking about is that it has to be a personal experience. It has to be direct experience, and I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed on your website is also something that's important to bring out, and that's that when we contact the soul, our higher purpose suddenly becomes clear. That the soul has the blueprint for our lives, and it's the repository of all the wisdom of our lifetimes of experience. And we suddenly have a better sense of what we're here to do, what service we're here to perform. And that's one of the most remarkable and wonderful things that people talk about. I have a whole chapter on service and a lot of stories about how people have woken up to this and how they got their greatest joy in this. And I think that's something that's so precious and so important to all of us and so needed now, that we're all really needed to do our part.
Yes. And, you know, Barbara Marx Hubbard always says that we need to remember if we can. She says some of us can remember when we signed a contract for this lifetime and what was it we agreed to do, and figure out what that is, you know, through meditation or trance or shamanic work or whatever. Find out what that is intuitively within you that you're to do here, and then take action and get out there and do it.
Mm-hmm. She talks about how important it is, and this is one I actually talked about her definition of the universal human in one of the chapters.
Yep.
And she says that we are the crossover generation, that we're responsible for leading the way from one stage of our species evolution to the next. And Eckhart Tolle talks about this too, but he talks about it in more scary, stark terms. He says that we have, as a species, we have a choice now to evolve or die.
Yep.
And they both say that evolution happens as a result of some sort of crisis that propels us or forces us to make a leap forward. And Tolle uses the example of an amphibian whose habitat is slowly drying up and who's forced to develop the ability to live on land or die. And our habitat is slowly drying up and being poisoned. And we're faced with that same need now. We have the technological and scientific sophistication to extinguish the human race. And we need to make a leap, not onto land, but into the subtle world.
Absolutely. And it has to start within us. It has to start with what it is our, I had one guest once who talked about it as a puzzle piece. If the entire planet is this puzzle, it's this jigsaw puzzle, what's your piece? I love that. What's your puzzle piece? And then you put it in there. And you may think you're insignificant, but no, your puzzle piece is vital to the whole, which I really love. So, Colleen, we're winding down here, but I'd love for you to give listeners one thing that they could do or two things that they could do today to get started on this journey, this path.
Well, I have to say meditation, 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 because that is the doorway. We're not going to step into these higher worlds. We're not going to get the information with a rational mind. That is the higher level of mental facility that we have to develop and use.
No, we're not. And you mentioned earlier that you started meditating with your breath. And so could people start today, for instance, I do with clients something where they close their eyes and take deep breaths, and then I have them focus on their breath rising and falling in their chest and stomach, and they just kind of notice the movement of the rise and fall. Is there something like that you could share that's tangible that people can actually do?
Yeah, following the breath is a great one, and there's lots of mindfulness meditations online. But I also just remembered something. Lucis Trust website, and I think it's lucis.org, the Alice Bailey website, there is a meditation online that I adapted, which is the first meditation in the book. They call it a cult meditation, and it's the basic overview, the step-by-step of how you start to quiet your mind and extend your attention upward. So people could go to that website and start right away.
Now spell that website.
Let me see if I think it's L-U-C-I-S.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
L-U-C-I-S.com?
Or
lucis.org. Yeah, I think that'd be wonderful. Just because I did this in my book that's coming out in the fall, is I have experiential exercises in every single chapter, because I have to do, and it just might be how I'm wired, but I think most of us can hear about something like meditate or, you know, access the higher mind. And where I go with that is how. How do I do that? You know? And so practical wisdom for people that will help them this minute, or help them, you know, at 3 o'clock today when they have a moment to sit down and start quieting their mind. So
web address. It's lucistrust.org.
L-U-C-I-S, lucistrust.org, and there's meditation. Is there just one meditation on there or several?
There's several meditations, but look for the occult meditation.
Is that O-C-C-U-L-T?
Correct.
All right. So people can do that. Mm-hmm. And anything else that you're dying to say that you haven't said yet that you'd love to?
I can't think of it. The thing that I want to impress upon people the most is that this isn't for special people. It's for everybody, and it's the step we're all moving towards, and we'll all get there. It really just depends on how much work we want to put into it now. And those of you who do this are the pioneers who will lead the way to a more compassionate and self-sustaining life, that each of us who makes this step and builds this bridge makes it easier for those who follow, and it's really important now that we do this.
Yeah, no, I love that, what you wrote about the bridge in the book. And the book is wonderful. Once again, Spiritual Telepathy, Colleen Morrow. And you can connect with her and say your connection, your website again.
It's spiritualtelepathy.net.
Wonderful. And is there a way for them to email you there?
Yep. Mm-hmm. They can join my mailing list too.
Wonderful. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. You've been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And thank you, all my listeners. I appreciate you more than you know. And I also love that you are taking time for yourself. You are evolving. You are spending time deepening, and you're investing in your spiritual growth. And that is precious. It's priceless, as Colleen said. And we need you. We need all of you here working on yourselves and being that piece of the puzzle and putting your puzzle piece into the whole. And you're important. So next week, everyone, we have one of my favorite authors is Alberto Valoldo. He also was my teacher at one time, my shamanic teacher. He's a medical anthropologist trained in the shamanic tradition, mainly the Inca tradition of Peru. And he has a book coming out called One Spirit Medicine. It comes out the day before he's on the show. So that's really cool. So he'll be on the show next week. Until then, I'm Dr. Susan. And remember that you carry the light.
You've been listening to the transformative show, We Carry the Light, with host Dr. Susan Allison, the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. Who are you right now, and who do you want to be? What is it that makes you happy, helps you feel fulfilled, and living your purpose? Tune in every Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.